Section 1, the Bible. Session 1, I Believe in God. Hello, this is your friend Woodrow Kroll. Thank you for joining me on our Helios project. Now, we're going to sit down together often and be talking through the Christian faith. And since we're going to be spending a lot of time together, I thought I should tell you a little bit about myself. So, here goes. I've spent more than 50 years of my life studying the Bible and teaching the Bible to friends like you. It's been the joy of my life. God has been so good to me. My father was a pastor. I began to learn God's Word shortly after I trusted Christ as my Savior. God allowed me to pursue a good education in college and seminary and the university. But I have to tell you, almost everything I know about the Bible, I learned while studying it for myself. Now, of course, God used others to teach me as well, but He has especially taught me while teaching others. I've often prayed the prayer of King David of Israel in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Well, it's been my privilege over many, many years to help others discover the wondrous things God has for them in His Word. God put me in a position to share His Word with thousands of people in the classroom, and many, many more through a daily Bible teaching radio program for which I was the president and senior Bible teacher for 23 years. And this program reached millions of people every day around the world. Now, I tell you this because I consider you my fellow traveler on our journey through the Bible and the Christian faith. And together, these Helios sessions will explore what Christians believe and why we believe it. Oh, and one more thing before we get going. We call these sessions together Helios because many of you are listening on a solar-powered device that's smaller than a cell phone. Helios is the Greek word for sun, so it seemed appropriate to call our studies the Helios Project. Thank you for joining me. Now, let's jump right into our first session together. Just think of me sitting across the table from you. We're friends, learning from God's Word together. Let me begin with an admission. I believe in God. There, I said it. I believe there's a God who is in control of our universe. I believe there's just one God. I believe He's a personal God and not just a force or a creation of man's imagination. I believe God is there. But I also believe God is here, right here at our table, right where you are and right where I am. God is present and He wants us to get to know Him. Now, throughout all of our studies together, we'll be thinking about how we can get to know God better. Now, when I say I believe in God, I mean I have faith that God exists. But my faith isn't just some foolish hope. It isn't something I cling to with nothing to support it. My faith has some anchors, some things that hold it tight and don't allow it to wander from me. I believe in God because I think it's perfectly reasonable to believe in God. And I suspect you believe in God, too. You wouldn't be joining me for these studies. So in this session, we want to focus on why you and I can believe in God, a God whom we've never seen. We'll begin by thinking about our inner sense of God's presence. Let me tell you a story. Mampuru was an African tribal leader. He was named after a renowned king of his tribe. Mampuru was just a simple farmer. He had never met a missionary. He had never seen a Bible. No one had ever told him about God or God's son, Jesus. But Mampuru was a wise chief and a wise man. He knew there had to be a God he had never seen, but a God who could both send the rain and then create the rainbow. He knew there had to be a God who placed the stars in the sky and caused them to twinkle at night. There was just something down deep inside of Mampuru that caused him to believe there just had to be a God. Now, Mampuru isn't alone, you know. Every one of us, you, me, our families, our neighbors, every one of us has a deep inner sense that God exists. We all feel like we have some sort of a connection to a divine being. The Apostle Paul speaks about this inner sense that Mampuru had. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21, he writes about people just like Mampuru, people who have no knowledge of God that comes from others. But Paul says they knew God, but they did not honor him or worship him. Even so, down deep inside, they knew some kind of a God had to exist. And they knew right from wrong, and that had to be because there is a God. We call this deep-seated sense our conscience. In fact, Paul says the reason people did not worship God was not because they didn't have a conscience or this inner sense of who He is and what He wants. They didn't worship God because they chose not to worship God. They chose to worship other things instead, things like idols of stone or wood, things like their ancestors or recently departed loved ones. Now in that same chapter, Romans chapter 1, verse 25, Paul says they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Now he means that they willingly took what their inner conscience told them about God and they squashed it. They suppressed it. They denied it. They chose to worship other things instead of God. For people who refuse to believe that there is a God, people who worship things they've made or their departed loved ones, these people, the Apostle Paul of the Bible says, are being fooled by a lie from the devil, Satan himself. In fact, David in the Old Testament describes such people this way. He says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Psalm 14, verse 1. What they're doing is they're denying what that inner sense of conscience is telling them. And that's a foolish thing to do. Well, let's look at something else now. Let's look at the world around us. I believe there is a God because He has placed something down deep inside of me that tells me there has to be a God, and that we call our conscience. But there's another reason why I believe there's a God. It's because there is no good explanation for the world around me without a divine creator. That's not to say that people haven't tried to make an explanation. They have, plenty of them, in fact. And the vast majority of the world has embraced these explanations as truth. They're taught as fact in schools and treated as historical in museums. But there are two problems with man's explanation of how the world around us came into existence. Number one, their explanations cannot be proven. And number two, man's explanations don't last very long. New theories arise, and suddenly people abandon the old theory for the new one. And where does this leave people? Hopelessly ignorant. Paul says of the people in his day, "What may be known of God is manifest or shown in them, for God has shown it to them." That's Romans chapter 1, verse 19 in the New Testament of the Bible. And what the apostle said back in the first century is true for you and me today. There are things that we all know about God because God has shown them to us. Things like His power in a thunderstorm or even the beauty of a butterfly's wings. We just have an inner sense that somebody bigger than you and I caused that to happen. God has shown Himself to us in the world around us. Now again, in that first chapter of Paul's letter to the Christians who were living in Rome in the first century, Paul says that while he can't see God, you and I can't see God, we understand that we must exist because of the things that are made. Now, since the creation of the world, Paul says in verse 20 of that chapter, mankind has been able to know that there is a God because of all the things around us that God created. Luke was a physician in the first century. He was a close friend of the Apostle Paul. In fact, he wrote the gospel that bears his name, the Gospel of Luke. But he also was the man responsible for recording the history of the early church. We call that historical record the Book of Acts in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 14, Luke tells us this story. Paul, with another friend named Barnabas, went on a journey to a country outside of Israel in order to preach the gospel. Now, at that time, this country was called Asia Minor. Today, we call it Turkey. Luke says that in a town called Lystra, Paul was preaching to the people when a crippled man came to him believing that Paul could heal him. And Paul did. Well, immediately, all the people of Lystra began to shout, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." See, they thought Paul and Barnabas had to be gods because the crippled man was healed. But Paul quickly put an end to that. He shouted over the crowd, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." You see, Paul knew he was just a human being like the rest of us. He did not want them worshiping him because he believed there was only one person worthy of our worship, and that was God himself, the living God in heaven. But Paul goes on to say that God gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. These were evidences to Paul that there had to be a living God to do these things. That's recorded in Acts chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Yes, I believe there is a God because of that inner sense within me that tells me God must exist. So did the Apostle Paul. I also believe that there is a God because of the rain from heaven that makes the crops grow for the farmers. So did Paul. So now we have two reasons to believe there is a God. Both of these reasons do not depend on a Bible or a missionary. They're true for every one of us. They're just as true for Mampuru, the African tribal chief, as they are for you and me. When King David of ancient Israel was just a shepherd boy in the fields near his home in Bethlehem, one night he looked up into the night sky, and this is what he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the great expanse of the heavens show his handiwork." See, David believed God existed because he reasoned that no one could create such a vast space as the heavens without the help of an all-powerful, an all-wise God. Nature itself tells us that it's reasonable to believe that God exists. In fact, it tells us that it's foolish not to believe that God exists. So how about you? We've talked about two reasons why there must be a God. He is the God who created this universe. He created you and me. And he created us with that inner sense that tells us he is there and he is real. But some people don't recognize that God is real because they choose not to. They choose to find their own, often unsatisfactory, explanations for the world around us and the inner sense of God within us. They don't believe there's a God, not because of a lack of evidence. They don't believe there's a God because of a lack of will. They choose not to believe. They choose to explain the existence of the world around us in some incredibly unbelievable and unreasonable ways. They choose to squash that inner sense, that inner voice within them that says there just has to be a God. Now, there are much better reasons for believing that God exists than the two we've talked about in this session. But these two reasons do not depend on a missionary. They do not depend on a Bible. Once we begin to talk about the Bible and how it shows us the existence of God, the facts become clearer, the evidence becomes stronger for the existence of God, but we're going to have to wait until we sit down another time for that. For now, take this with you today. There are good reasons to believe that there is a God, and there are good reasons to believe we can know him better than we do right now. That's going to be our goal in these Helios studies together. Well, my time for this session is gone. Would you mind if I pray for the two of us as we begin our journey together? Take just a moment where you are and pray with me, please. Dear Father, you are the one who created us and the world around us. You are the one who loves us more than we can know. And you are the one who teaches us about you, both from down deep inside of us and from all the beautiful things we see around us. Thank you, Father, for being a God we can get to know better. As my friend and I begin this journey of talking through the Christian faith, give us a thankful heart. Help us to appreciate that you want us to know you and to know you fully and intimately. And there are more ways we can know you even better than through our conscience and through our world around us. Lord, as we look into your word, the Bible, in each of these Helios sessions, give us eyes to see your truth in your word and hearts to feel your heart. Thank you, Father, for being the kind of God who is interested in us. Accept our thanks, for we pray in the authority of the strong name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll see you the next time we think together about how we know God. How does God speak to us? I hope you'll join me soon. This is your friend Woodrow Kroll reminding you that there is a God who is watching over you and loves you and wants you to know more about him. God bless you. I'll see you next time.